Hey, welcome in. Welcome in. It's Kyle. It's your boy, the Hat, back again. As always, welcome to the Oh No Disc Golf Podcast. Joined again with my best friend in the entire world, Eric Wolverton. We are here to put on an excellent show for you today. Hopefully put a smile on your face. Eric, what is your random tangent of the day?
Go out and practice putt. That's it. It's simple. Force yourself to do it. You'll thank yourself. More importantly, you'll thank me later. Stop putting it off. Stop blaming your high scores on anything else but putting. Kyle, I'm looking at you too.
I have been practice putting, actually.
Well, good.
So I'm there. I'm doing it. Good. Things are happening. I'm getting better. Not lately, but, you know, it's a daily process. I get better, I get worse. I get better, I get worse daily. But I do have good days now.
That's good. Progress.
Do you practice putt, Eric?
As much as I can. I have a basket outside, and every time I take the dogs outside, I throw usually 10 to 20 putts. I got 10 like practice putters that just stay at the house, so I usually run through a handful or two of those. I also practice a lot of dumb stuff that I don't need to be doing, but got to have a little bit of fun.
True story.
We have a wonderful episode for you today. I'm going to talk about the tournament that I actually almost won this time. I'm going to talk a little bit about the Delaware Disc Golf Challenge. It was the last stop on the national tour. And for our top five today, we're going to do our top five favorite distance drivers.
If you know any companies that would like to sponsor a small podcast talking about disc golf, hit us up in the DMs on Instagram. We just got dropped by Anchor and we want our pennies back. If you can't get enough of us here, check us out on all the social medias. You know where they are. We are affiliated with StarframeDiscs.com. That's StarframeDiscs.com. We have a code over there, Oh No, to get 5% off. That's anything over there. That's code Oh No, O-H-N-O, to get 5% off.
So this past weekend was the Cass City Classic, which is kind of my home course and a course that Kyle kind of quote-unquote grew up on, if that makes sense.
Cass City.
Yep. And so this is the last year was my first tournament was there, and I had no idea what to expect, and I played absolutely horribly. And fast forward to a year later, and I managed to take third. So I really almost did win a tournament. Still didn't shoot absolutely amazing. I definitely made a lot of mistakes in the second round. But I held on.
What place were you in going into the second round?
Fourth. And then
so you moved up.
Yeah, but not because I shot well, because the guy in front of me unfortunately played pretty bad. He was a really nice guy, and I wish him all the best of luck.
Unfortunately for him.
Yes, unfortunately for him. Well, it's just, I don't like watching that. I would have preferred to, you know, me win because I shot good, not me
right. Took
his place because he shot bad. Like, that's
right. That's
never a fun way. But he's a really nice guy. If he is listening, I wish you all the best of luck in Texas. But it finished in a tie for third with another guy who comes to leagues weekly. So we had to play off because that was like the last prize position. So that was pretty exciting. We had a small group following us. So it was like the closest to feeling like I was playing on a big stage. It's like 10 people, but it was still just kind of fun.
That's pressure.
Yeah. And I find out,
you're not used to 10 people watching you.
No, it didn't bother me.
Acclimated to it now, too.
Well, that and I do best when I just kind of shut everything out. Like, it's hard to do it with, like, a card of four to just kind of, like, shut out completely and just kind of, like, focus on my game because I don't want to come across as a dick. But when there's all those people around, it's kind of, like, what you have to do. Yeah, so I do best when I just kind of, like, get quiet and I just focus on each hole as they come. Whereas if I get like messing around and chatting, I usually make mistakes.
I kind of have that, you know, ADHD. So I kind of go back and forth between like really focused tournament mindset, and then I have to joke around a little bit and have fun.
No, I mean, I try to have fun because that's what I'm there for. And yeah, like I said, I don't want to come across as a dick, like, oh, he just, you know, he doesn't even say a word. He doesn't, you know, like, I always try cheering for people, but sometimes when I'm just playing, like, where I am focused, I don't even, like, think to cheer. I'm like Chris Dickerson, honestly. It's just like, if I would have thrown an ace, I'd have been like, all right, let's go, on to the next hole. Is like how, is what I, when I play at my best, that's how I am, I think.
Tell the people what you won at the tournament.
I won a brand new MVP Black Hole Transit basket. That wasn't from third place prize. That was actually from a long putt prize. I made about a 35 to 40 footer for the putt. And then I won a little saddle, like a messenger bag type bag for disc golf. And just one CTP prize, which was a sweet dyed Firebird. It's all up on Instagram and Facebook. I don't know if it made it to anything else if you want to see the sweet dyed discs. Shout out to Dye Fly Discs on Instagram. He does some pretty sweet work and he's local. So yeah, but it was a really great time. Even if I didn't win, it was would have been a really great time. Everyone there was super just kind of nice and excited to do it. We had, I think, 4 bags that were won, and I want to say 3 of the bags were given away to like other people who needed it more than the guy who won it. So it's just nice to see that's the kind of community, disc golf community, that I'm a part of.
I dig it.
Yeah. We also got some bad news that led into more good news, but they have to remove the hole one. They have to remove hole one out of the Cass City course, which is one of my favorites, probably my favorite, because I'm like dialed in right now on that hole where I'm always in like a less than a 10-foot circle around the basket where it lands. So I'm like that close to acing it. And if they remove it before I ace it, it's going to be a sad day. But with the bad news, we got the good news that we are allowed to kind of completely redesign the course and hopefully make it into, me and Kyle have argued about this before, but I don't think it'll ever be a pro level course, but we'll be moving in the right direction.
I think that you can start thinking about bigger opportunities like that. Now, maybe not on that property, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But I would like you to be able to, you know, walk that woods and think about it in that way. It's just a long distance to think about. Is all I'm
a long distance to think about. What do you mean?
Like the distance of the holes are just really long.
Yeah. That's all I hope to. I hope to just push some holes longer. There's a couple holes that I think would be really cool. There's a couple holes that I would like to make work, but I'm afraid they might be dangerous to try to build a par four with like kind of throwing blind, you know. As much as I love the Cass City disc golf community, a lot of the people are still learning and don't know full etiquette to go and like check that corner or have a spotter around that corner to make sure there's nobody coming up that way, because we share the course with a walking path. So safety first, kids.
Instead of having all the fairways down the paths, maybe use the woods a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to do our best, but we're not allowed to. There's only a certain number of trees we're allowed to cut down, not even based on what the city says, based on like the conservation officers or whatever. Did I say conversation?
That's fine. I think there's enough space there.
That's what was part of the problem last year, was cutting down trees. So, but I'm excited the opportunity to do whatever I can to make it a little bit better of a course while still trying to keep it beginner friendly.
I'm super excited for you, bud.
Yeah. So if you guys are ever up in the Thumb area of Michigan, hit us up on Instagram and I'd love to show you around.
Definitely not going to have 132 foot hyzer hole anymore.
The number 6?
18.
Oh, yeah. Nope. 18's getting cut no matter what.
Yeah. Fuck that hole. That sounds terrible.
Yeah, 18's getting cut no matter what. Check out on the Instagram because I'll hopefully be documenting what we're doing there as much as I can. So skipping over from what's going on in Michigan, we're going to travel down to Delaware. Oh, look.
Good day, mate.
We're in Delaware.
We're in Delaware, mate.
Why are we Australian now?
Is that not where Delaware is?
Nope. I don't think so.
I'm just kidding. Just kidding. There's a lot of Australians in Delaware.
Is there?
Yeah.
Well, if Kyle said it. Highest
outback population in the world.
If Kyle said it, it must be true.
Delaware.
Even more than Australia?
That's a fact.
In Australia? There's more Australians in Delaware than there is in Australia?
I don't know about that.
Well, you said the highest outback population.
Right, like Outback Steakhouse.
Oh, okay. All right. Well then. Can't argue with those numbers.
That logic. Okay, bye. Go ahead.
The Delaware Disc Golf Challenge happened this weekend. It is the last stop on the national tour, which unfortunately means that the disc golf season is coming close to an end. We still have a lot of fun places to play, so I'm not super sad about it, but a little bit sad. I didn't get to watch everything. Watched a few rounds on Jomez and a few rounds on Gatekeeper.
And I watched even less.
So we don't have a whole lot to say about it. There is a total of 6 recorded cards across MPO and FPO. 3 for MPO, 3 for FPO, which is really cool to see. Jomez, Gatekeeper, and GK Pro did MPO and then totally had it, and then I blanked. Ace Run and B-Dub Pro did the 2 of the cards for FPO.
So go check it out.
Check it all out, because there was...
I've been too busy.
And it's a sweet course. It is a really sweet course.
It did look like a sweet course. It looked like a big kid version of Cass City.
Yeah, lots of woods, but like hittable lines, so... It was really cool. One of the coolest things that's happened over the weekend there, Austin Hanna with his massive forehand ace. Basket is blind uphill, and he just threw it in like it was nothing.
It was pretty sick.
And it was like, it was so blind and so far away that they didn't know until the catch cam called it. And then catch cam relayed over a walkie-talkie to the camera at the tee pad. And told them it, and that's when they started to celebrate, which is insane to me. And it was so nasty. It had to have been probably the best ace this year, if not probably top 3 overall of ones that I've seen on camera for me.
True story.
In MPO, it was pretty exciting. Austin Hanum and Ricky Wysocki tied for second at 20 under, and then Connor O'Reilly with his first National Tour Elite Series win at negative 22. He had an absolutely dominating round, second round.
Having some tree love, all kinds of good stuff.
If you want to get more familiar with Connor, he guest stars on a lot of Ezra Aderhold videos, so you can check him out there. I'm pretty sure he has his own YouTube channel too now, but definitely kind of one of those up and coming stars that I think he'll start to make a name for himself. FPO, it was a tight race right up until the last round. It was like 1-2 strokes swings through round 1 and round 2. Coming in third was Holly Finley at 2 under, and Sarah Hokum came in second at 4 under, and then Katrina Allen shooting an 11 down the last day with a 14 under. I don't know what it was about the final day, but Katrina Allen was just like, nope, just going to put everyone out of their misery and just take this home and not give anybody a chance.
That's sprinting away with it.
It's bizarre. It's like, I don't even know how one does such a thing.
Just hit everything. Had just quite a day. Just had a day.
Everything. We hit those. Next week is the MVP Open. and I'm going to watch every bit of it I can. And I am so excited because I think that's my favorite tournament throughout the year is MVP Open.
I love it too. So really excited.
And we'll pick up on our Grip 6 and our fire rounds at MVP Open because, one, I'm an idiot, and two, Kyle's an idiot, and we both forgot.
The whole weekend.
Yep. I even said it one day that we forgot.
I looked at it, and I was like, oh, yeah, we did forget. And then I was like, we should pick, and then I never did.
Yep. So, yeah.
True story.
Now, at this point, I don't think I'm going to win, but I can still try to get as many points as I can. Never give up hope.
3, 2, 1.
Top
5.
5.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. I think we actually did it.
Now you're going to have to cut it up so we didn't do it.
No, if we do it just naturally for the first time ever, 32 episodes in, because I've never changed it to where it, like, I made a lineup or anything.
The audience knows. They know.
That'd be epic. No, like, that time I heard it and it sounded on. I don't know.
All right. Find out. Tune in next week to find out. For this top five, we did our top five favorite distance drivers. This isn't
not a definitive list.
Yes.
It's more of like a right now list.
Mm-hmm. Because we're still not fully comfortable. Or I'm still not fully comfortable throwing distance drivers off the tee all the time.
Like, I just got two of these discs like 2 weeks ago. So, yeah. They're still fresh.
But these are definitely, there's a couple in here that I would definitely recommend trying out. And there's one on this list that is like my favorite. So that's number one. Starting off, number five is the Nuke. Because, you know, something feet. I'm reaching for the ESP Nuke, baby.
Agreed.
We are big Ezra fans, so we bought the Tour Series Nukes when they came out. I got an ESP Nuke as a player's pack, and the ESP ones absolutely bomb. But you have to throw them, right? It is the one distance driver that I have on this list that it'll fade quick if you don't give it the mustard.
The Nuke is also my number five. I also have a Tour Series Ezra Aderhold Nuke, and I have a Nuke SS in Big Z, I think.
Yeah.
Or just Z.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. One of those.
But fantastic discs, but only number five worthy.
Yep. Worth checking out, though, the very least.
Both are kind of like utility discs for me.
Yeah.
Rather than I throw them all the time.
Mm-hmm. Sounds about right. My number four is the Cedar by AGL. I don't bag this all the time. It is a glow disc, so it's in like my glow bag if I ever like am out towards the end of the day. But it is it's almost like a cheap version of a Wraith, but it's a pretty cool disc. Like to bring attention to like those discs that most people don't think about, but it feels nice in the hand. The plastic feels nice. My biggest discrepancy with the one I have is that it's like camouflage green, so it's easy to lose, but it's a nice disc. Definitely check out the Cedar or any of AGL's discs.
Love it. My number four, I went with a G-Star Wraith, and I also went with, because I'm a cheater, is a DDX. They're basically the same disc to me. My DDX is kind of like a turnover and hold it machine, which is the same thing as my G-Star Wraith. But I love them, and they go very far. So my G-Star Wraith is only 169, whereas the DDX is 175, so it's full weight, and I can get a little bit more turn out of the G-Star, and they both have a spot for me right now.
But they share a spot at the same time.
They are a very similar disc. I find myself reaching for the Wraith more often than the DDX, really. But only number four worthy.
My number three is The Enigma by Discmania. I think this was Discmania's like attempt to replace the DD3 in the Evolution line. It's got the same numbers, but it is quite a lot more understable than the DD3s are. It is a really good disc if you are just starting to pick up distance drivers. All the plastics they make them in, all, like, if you can throw, you know, like your 7, 8, 9 speeds, you know, decently far, if you pick up one of the Enigmas, you'll be able to hyzer flip that baby and get a lot out of it. And I think you'll quickly grow out of the Enigma, is why it made number three.
My number three, G-Star Turn. Doesn't have to be G-Star. This mold turn is a wonderful mold. Pretty quick, but wonderful, controllable turn. In the turn.
Did you say turd?
Is a turn.
Turns a turd? Turns a turd. Heard it here first, folks.
But need to get the other ones from Eric to really figure out what I have going. This one is the one that I have now. I have an orange one that is a little bit more stable than the other one that I had. So, need to figure that life out.
Figure it out.
Not quite as much of a hyzer flip machine, more of a throw it flat machine, which I really want it to be a hyzer flip.
Yeah, hyzer flip is the way to go. My number two is the Wraith. I have a Star Wraith and a Garrett Gerthy Halo Wraith. The Garrett Gerthy.
I said Wraith Gang.
Oh. He always wants to build a gang. The Halo Wraiths are extremely beefy compared to regular runs of Wraiths. But my Wraith is probably my most dependable straight to left fade distance driver I bag right now. I don't know if it gets me my most distance, but it gets me my most consistent distance. Usually when I throw it, I know exactly where it's going, and yeah, it's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing to know that.
Yeah, I love Wraiths too, so I agree with you. My number two, I cheated again and went with an Instinct.
Boo.
Boo. Because I feel like they go just as far as any distance driver. They're fantastic discs. Go get one today. That's all I need to say.
Yep, Kyle has... making people buy EMAC Truths and Instincts.
Just because I talk about them so much.
He's a pusher.
No, just I talk about things too often.
My number one, and what I believe to be the best distance driver ever created, is the Discmania DDX. I have a very large collection of them. I love them. I bag two swirly S-line DDXs. One that's slightly lighter weight and one that is max weight. I think it's like 171 is the slightly lighter weight. And they are my straight to right finishing distance drivers. I don't get to throw them a lot because Cassidy doesn't have any long holes, but... it's always nice to take them out for field practice. Field work. Field work. That's what they call it. That's what them kids are calling nowadays. But, yeah.
Hey, what are the kids calling field work these days?
Not field practice.
Field hokey pokey?
Yep, that one. But I really like how flat and like almost thin it is. They don't handle a headwind as much as a Wraith does, though. That's why the Wraiths are in the bag, too.
So when do you use a DDX versus a Wraith?
When I want it to finish straight or finish right.
That's what I use my Wraith for.
Nope. It's not what I use my Wraith for. I use my Wraith for straights and left finishes.
Okay. My number one, I went with an Astronaut by Discmania.
Yeah.
Discs. Picked it up for $3.25, had some coupons. Fantastic disc. Hyzer flip machine. as it's been beating in, because the active line beats in pretty fantastically, just like the Instinct, the Neo does, beats in fantastically. The amount of turn I'm getting out of it at such a late stage makes me feel like Paul Macbeth. It's just a great disc. Go get one.
Is it premium?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. I was going to say, if it's not, that's crazy. I didn't even know they made them in non-premium. It's like clear, yeah. Like almost like it looks like a glass top almost.
Yeah, it looks like Lucifer's Champion, you know? Mm-hmm. Neo. But yeah, go. It's great.
I've never thrown an Astronaut, but I have heard pretty amazing things about just easy distance. Kind of, again,
it goes so far.
One of those discs that if you're comfortable with your 7, 8, 9 speed discs and you've been wanting to try a faster disc, check out an Astronaut first. And something you might grow out of quick, but
for sure, like especially at sea level, I'm sure it would be like a turn and burn machine. But here in Colorado, that thing goes so far.
But they did make all of like the active line to be fairly cheap, so it's an easy disc to replace if you lose it, easy disc to replace if it does become too understable, or just you don't mind not bagging it anymore.
A fresh one is a really awesome, like, controllable hyzer flip. So
yeah,
it's awesome. Great disc.
Yeah. Well, that was our top 5 favorite distance drivers.
And that was episode 32.
Yay.
Good job, Eric.
Good job, Kyle.
You know where to find everything. We're oh no everywhere.
Not doing a recap.
We did things today. You just listened to it. You know what we just did. And that's episode 32.
Thanks for joining us, guys.
Catch us every single Wednesday for a brand new episode.
Yep.
And if you want to chat with us, hit us up on Instagram. That's where we usually hang out.
Oh no, disc golf.
And have a good week. We'll catch you on the flip side.